I've gone back and looked at some of the controversial moments, some of the key moments of the game, and I have changed my thought on a few things, starting with the most controversial play of the game. And after this, we got to move on. Falcons are coming in Sunday. You got week two, but one final look back at what happened in opening week. And that fourth down play where the Cowboys have fourth and three early fourth quarter at the 11-yard line of the Rams are only trailing by 3 points. I haven't changed my stance on it. I still would have kicked the field goal. It made very little sense to me Sunday night, just given the circumstances and what was going on in the game and the flow of the game, the eyeball test, regardless of what the analytics said. And when you threw those numbers out yesterday, that almost clouds my vision even more as to what to do on fourth and three. I think those can be useful for a coach, but I can also see how that would paralyze you when you've got, what, 20 seconds, 10 seconds to make up your mind?
Yep.
But before you look at fourth and three, I think you got to go back to second and six. And upon further review, it never should have come down to a fourth and three. The Cowboys should have had two cracks at a yard. Dalton Schultz should have caught that second down and six pass that hit him right in the hands. I know it wasn't directly on target. We didn't talk about that too much on Monday. That's a pass. If he's going to play tight end, he's got to make that catch. That was really bad upon further review. At the time, I thought, well, it was a hot ball. It was out beyond his right shoulder. Given the circumstances, you're in the red zone. That's where you need that guy to make that play.
That would have been Blake Jarwin, right?
That would have been Blake Jarwin, and I'm thinking Blake Jarwin would have made that catch. I'm thinking that's a catch Jason Witten probably would have made last year. So now second and six goes to third and six. That play at the time, you're thinking, they're running it on third and six? But as you think about it more, I think the mentality was, I believe this, I don't know this, but I think Mike McCarthy said in the headset, let's run the ball and let's try to set up a more favorable fourth down, and who knows, we may make it. And you know what? They should have picked it up on third and six. That was the right call. There were only six men in the box for the Rams. They should have been able to block that. And if you've got six in the box with Ezekiel Elliott and it breaks the right, there's a good chance you make 5 or 6 yards, if not a score for him. They had the right defense set up for that. It couldn't have set up any better for the Cowboys, but one problem. And this is why I would have kicked the field goal on the next down. Aaron Donald. On that third and six play, there's only six in the box, but two of the Cowboy offensive linemen, Joe Looney and Zach Martin, both tried to block him. Looney whiffed, and Martin got just destroyed. And that's how Donald was the first one to make contact with Zeke. He wanted to go out right and then maybe cut it back, but his lane was cut off. And then your guy, Ogbonnia Okoronkwo.
Mm-hmm. Sooner great.
Former Sooner great.
Oboe.
He was unblocked. So whatever the scheme was there, he was lined up as the... They run a 3-4, so he's the outside linebacker on the right side of the defense, left side of the offense, unblocked, and he just went down the line of scrimmage, made contact, and made that. They get just a body on him. I know it's a big if, but just get some sort of block between two guys on Aaron Donald. I think Zeke scores on third down. Well, now you got fourth down and three, and because of I just saw Donald destroy a play like he had, what, 10 times that night?
Right.
I think that's why I do kick the field goal. That's why I said that Monday morning. Now, the fourth down and three play. I swear I looked at it 50 times from all 22 to just what was on TV. I think I'm right in saying this. CeeDee Lamb is crossing. One criticism is he's short of the first down. Well, he had to backtrack a little bit because there was a huge crowd right at the first down marker. I don't think that's a big deal on a drag route going across if you're not at the first down marker. What does have an effect, two things. Jordan Cooper made a great play. He recognized it from the safety position, the rookie for the Rams from Ohio State, ran up, great closing speed, made the play on CeeDee Lamb. But in watching that, this is a Dak misthrow. And why? Because Aaron Donald's unblocked again. He pushes Zach Martin into Dak Prescott, and that's why Dak had to kind of backpedal and just wing it.
Yep.
And it was low.
Yep.
And it was behind CeeDee Lamb. It was off his right hip. If that one is, I know it's a tough throw when Aaron Donald's about to kill you, or he's about to push your huge offensive, all-pro offensive guard right into you, and you're going to hurry the throw. I swear to you, if that's put out with a little bit of air in front of CeeDee Lamb, I think it's a first down.
I think you're exactly right about both of those plays, and I think you're exactly right to point to they had Aaron Donald and we don't. They had the best player in football. And the third and sixth call, I agree, that was the right call.
Yeah.
If, against that defense, Zeke Elliott should pick up more than 3 yards.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But they didn't block it.
So that was the right call. And the fourth and three call, while I didn't think they should have gone for it, I had no problem with the play call. But yes, in both cases, they also had Aaron Donald.
Right. And you know what else he wrecked? Because Zeke looked, or Dak looked out at Zeke, and they had a guy out there, so that wasn't going to work, at least not quickly. Donald wrecks it because he's all of a sudden right in the path of Dak's vision, but he saw CeeDee Lamb crossing. Had he been given just a split second time, he would have seen Amari Cooper wide open at the three. He ran a great route, a push route, got to the goal line, came back, open. I mean, NFL open. Almost college football open, where he's got a good two or three steps on the defender. That's a catch for a first down. But again, Dak doesn't have time because Aaron Donald. And that's why I kicked the field goal on fourth down, because here we are in the fourth quarter, and we know this guy's reputation anyway, and he has been mauling our offensive line all night long. You kicked the field goal there.
Yeah, I think you kicked the field goal for many reasons, and a lot of people have pointed to the analytics of the situation. And it's a good question. In that 20 seconds, as McCarthy is trying to decide, did he have a chance to go through all the analytics? No. How much did it play into it? I think a significant amount, but maybe not as significant as a lot of people think, even though he, post-game press conference, pointed to it. So there are a couple of different ways you can look at the analytics. So Fernando found Pro Football Focus, and they say that the Cowboys, based on down distance and on-field personnel, had a 55% chance to convert. But there's another analytics site, I believe it was Warren Sharp's site, that said they had a 39% chance to convert. And as another P1 pointed out, that may even be lower when you, if you go, it depends how many layers you want to go with the analytics. If you want to add in Dak's numbers on fourth and three or less, they're not very good. So maybe that even makes it lower than 39%, or if you go by Pro Football Focus, 55%. But as I boiled it down, it seemed like it was a decision between the field goal, which you had a 95% chance of making, which if you did make, would lead to a 50% chance of winning the game, or going for it, which you had a 60% chance of failing, according to one analytics site, which would lead to a 60% chance of losing the game. But if you go by the Pro Football Focus site, you had a 55% chance of converting, which would have led to a 60% chance of winning. In other words, it was kind of 50-50 either way. Yeah. So the people that are digging in saying the analytics said you needed to go for it because it gave you a better chance of win. Not necessarily. But also, if you're digging in on the other side, saying kicking the field goal gave you the better chance to win, well, not necessarily there either, according to the analytics. It was right. Very much a coin flip.
And that has to drive coaches crazy. And two things off of that. Do you think with all the time in the sports barn, now that upstairs, where he can reach them, just that, you know, because you, as a coach, you can't look at all those numbers you just rattled off. Mm-hmm. But if you have a guy, do you think there is a guy on headset that he just has to say, what does it say? And he says, go or no, kick it?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's why I asked Troy yesterday, of all the coaches in the NFL, how many now are strictly going by analytics how many are strictly going by gut instinct and how many are in the middle. And it's hard to know that number because, like, he brought up the example of Belichick, who says, I have no need for analytics, but maybe he does.
Right.
But I don't know what percentage that is. The other thing about that McCarthy decision that I really believe it goes back to more than analytics, maybe even more than his gut feel, was that that story from 2 weeks before he was fired at the end of 2018 when he's with the Pack and they're playing Seattle and they're coming off a couple of other tough road losses. And he chose to punt on 4th-and-2 with 4:20 to go instead of going for it and leaving the ball in the hands of Aaron Rodgers. And he got roasted in Green Bay for that. And they lost the game. And I think as much as the analytics entered his mind that year in the barn, I think that moment, because he even said in interviews, he was bitter for a long time about getting fired. And most people point to that moment that he's got Aaron Rodgers. They're paying him $33 million.
What are you doing kicking it on 4th?
He took the ball out of his hands, and he kicked and punted and instead of going for it on 4th down. And I will guarantee you that that moment played more in the decision-making process that night, Sunday against Los Angeles, than anything else. His gut instinct, the analytics, anything else. I bet you he said, wow, I got another quarterback. We're paying about the same, $31 million. He's our franchise. I got barbecued for not trusting my quarterback, and I got fired for not trusting my quarterback in Green Bay. I'm not going to do that again.
How about this? Back in those meetings between Steven and Jarrah and McCarthy, when he, I'm sure at some point, or Jerry volunteered, what are you looking for in a head coach? Don't you think Jerry and Steven said, you know, we had some problems on 4th down, and I want a coach who's willing to stand up for his team and go for it, and this and that. I like a coach, you know, I used to have Jimmy Johnson here and all that. And McCarthy then bowed up and said, well, that's me, because I spent some time in the sports barn now. Now I've got numbers on it.
Right.
And I'm your guy. Yeah, I'm going to go for things like that. I've changed as a coach, but I'm telling you, I know it's a struggle for him because he's kind of an old school guy too. He learned under guys who coached 20, 30 years ago. And the coach in him said the same thing that we've been talking about for the last 5 minutes. That guy is killing our offensive line. Kick the field goal. We can't make this. And that's the whole feel thing of a game that people like Bill Cowher and Tom Landry went on and Chuck Knoll. It's just whatever the numbers say, that's fine that you say that with your numbers, but my eyes are telling me we can't block that guy, and he's going to wreck our play, and he did on 3rd down and 4th down.
You know, I also thought David Moore in the Ranch Report yesterday had a really great point. He said if they kick the field goal there and tie it, and now each team has one or two possessions left, it's probably turning into a field goal game.
Yeah.
Because it's 20-20. It's not 45-45.
Yeah.
It's 20-20 with the Cowboys defense that was playing better and the Rams defense, which was playing well all game. So you were very likely then in a field goal game. And which team has the better kicker? The Cowboys by a mile.
Yeah.
So kicking the field goal there gives you an advantage in that way. I thought that was a great observation by David.
Just another factor. All right, 3rd down. We talked about this on Monday. The Cowboys were a miserable 3 of 12. The Rams were 9 of 17. That was what allowed them to hang on to the ball. I was a little surprised that upon further review, the Rams ran 72 plays. The Cowboys ran 69. Didn't it seem like it was like 80-40?
Yeah.
The Rams just took more time with running their plays. That's why they had 35 minutes in time of possession. The Cowboys had 25. And a lot of that, they didn't continue drives, going 3 of 12, obviously. And then Dak was 1 of 7 on 3rd down in pass attempts. 14% completion, that's the lowest of his career when he's had at least 5 attempts. But it went down those 3rd downs. You're talking 3rd and long on a lot of these. And all of them, you're talking about pressure. A lot of them, it was that man again. Aaron Donald was a part of a lot of this, but sometimes it was Brocker, sometimes it was somebody else. 3rd and 13. Pressure. Pollard, low throw, incomplete. 3rd and 7, incomplete. Pressure. 3rd and 10, Completion, the Schultz, the only time they converted an 11-yard gain. Third and three. This doesn't go in on the attempts, but he was sacked. Michael Brockers just goes right by Connor Williams. Third and nine, again, a long down and distance. Pressure again. Aaron Donald is the one. That caused the tipped interception. That was ruled incomplete. Third and five, pressure. And this was the weird throw. Remember when Cooper wasn't ready for it and hit him in the hip?
Yeah.
He wasn't expecting it. But again, it was pressure. And then third and 20, that was at the end where it was just scramble time, and he scrambled out left. No one was opening. He just burned one down the left sideline. Another third and four, sacked. But of those going 1 for 7, all of them, he was under pressure.
Yeah.
And this goes to the offensive line. And I think generally speaking, they did not have a good night. And whatever it was in pass protection, and especially in critical moments on third down, upon further review, that offensive line got manhandled the other night.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they graded out this week.
What?
Because even Zach Martin, I don't think, had a very good night.
No, not by his standards.
Right.
I don't think so.
Right. He's got a high bar.
Alden Smith, our Hot Fried Georgie Player of the Week. It's pretty wild, isn't it, that a day after he's named that, I ran into him briefly at the dentist office yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. And I had like a 5-second interaction with him because new protocols, you wait in like this foyer with a mask on. He had a mask on. He was seated. I was standing. You text when you're there. And just as the door opened, I looked and I recognized it was him. I said, "Hey, Alden, nice game the other night. You're the Hot Fried Georgie Player of the Week." And he said, "Thanks, man."
That's awesome.
Did he seem to comprehend what you were saying?
No. Not whatsoever.
But you recognized him with a mask on.
Yeah, because he has the signature, you know, blonde streak at the front of his hair.
Yeah.
It could have just been a fanboy.
No, it was not definitely
that size.
Not that size.
Not that size.
You don't think?
He looked like he was very capable of sacking a quarterback. And
wasn't someone
pressure.
Just cosplaying him?
I don't think so. So, in looking at his play upon further review, there were some really good plays against the run and the pass. But do you know what I thought? And again, I guess it depends on the defense, but no matter what defense you're in, if you're lined up on the outside, defensive end, outside linebacker, your main thing is to contain, to set the edge. A lot of those problems and those jet sweeps, end arounds, there was no containment, and just about every time, it was to Alden Smith's side.
Hmm.
So there was some good and bad there, too. And I'm sure in film that he got a lot of, "Hey, that's great. We need more of that." And he did make a lot of plays. But there was some bad in there, too, where he did not set the edge or quickly took an inside move, and then the play went that way and would gain 10 or 15 yards like that little screen to Woods or the end around to Woods. And also, upon further review, I thought Jalen Smith had a terrible game the other night. I know he made a couple of hits, and they seemed to get better as the game went on. But, boy, you talk about not being in the right place. Isn't that the job of someone in his position? Okay, we got a bunch set here. It could be a screen. Once it's obviously a screen, you get out there and blow something up? He didn't do that at all the other night, and he was being pushed downfield 5-10 yards sometimes. I think some of the stuff, though, that I saw is correctable. Some of it is, but there's still some pretty large questions about the linebacker crew, the secondary on this team. But upon further review, there was some good with this team, and I still feel good about their season, despite that loss on opening night or opening day is always crushing. No matter how it happens, you put so much into the opener, and if you don't win it, you start second-guessing yourself. And I'm sure the Cowboys are doing that, getting ready for the Atlanta Falcons.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.